Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And for those of you who have read my own books, you know that a lot of what I have put out there in terms of the first two, mainly the first two Excelsior books, definitely have a bit of a superhero angle to them. So it's only natural that I get attracted to other stories that have that same sort of bend to them, especially when it's original superheroes that are not being released as a comic, but are actually in a novel form. And that's something that really grabs my attention. It's something that I feel that is something that has not been mined as much as it should. And I'm really happy to see that that author, Amanda Madison, has done just that with her own book, Program 38. This is her own series. The first one, Sparks, is already out, as well as her latest one, Truths, that has just been published as well. So I am really excited to have Amanda here to not only talk about her own experience creating this superhero story and the world that they're all set in, but also to see how she developed as a writer in the first place. So it is my pleasure to introduce my guest this week, Amanda Madison. Amanda, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, George?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation to come on the show. When I saw Sparks, I definitely grabbed my attention considering the genre, and I felt that this is something that's worth discussing. Because we've seen, obviously, we live in this world where superheroes themselves have kind of taken the reins on pretty much all forms of media. And it's refreshing to see a brand new superhero story that's not done in a comic book form, that's not done on a television show, it's not done in a film, but it's done in a book form. I find that fascinating.
Thank you. I find it very interesting too, that there's not a lot of people that have came in on this genre. I feel like it would be one that is better served having a lot of people delving into it.
Yeah, exactly. Especially considering the fact that they only have text to work with. So they can put their own imagination to work and determine what is the best look for that character. They don't have to immediately just to have it spoon fed to them in an illustration and say, this is what it looks like. This is what that world looks like. They can participate in that as well, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do have designs readily available for the characters if you don't want to do that. I like when people can have creativity and...
That's okay.
I find it interesting when people choose to embody the characters in their own way. I don't want to pigeonhole people into seeing them my way, but again, if you want to go look at the Program 38 social media page and have a definitive option, you have that too. So you're not totally, completely to your own devices if you don't want to decide, but you have the ability to do so. And Program 38 also has a lot of characters that don't have designs who are from the other programs that I hope people can find themselves in, or maybe even make their own characters too, like OCs. That could be fun. Ooh,
kind of like opening the door for some fan fiction.
Yeah.
That is really cool. And it sounds like you have the seeds planted for what could be a multimedia kind of setup here.
I'd love to see Program 38 get expanded into other genres such as television or film or even comics. Yeah. I only wrote the books mostly because it's the means I had readily available to me. I wrote them at 19 through 21. I'm 22 now. I wrote them while I was sitting in a college dorm. I don't have access to television crews and movie crews and actors. Right. I was just a kid in a college dorm who was experiencing college and partially life for the first time on around. And I was like, I'm going to do this because I want the world to not only have new superheroes, but also see my experiences and what I went through in college and the wonderful people I met.
I love it. I love it. And that sounds so similar to my own journey into writing as well, because
I created these characters because I was inspired by the different things that I had watched in film and television and different books and a lot of different multimedia platforms. They had no means of actually getting them on screen. My artistic ability can only go so far, so I couldn't get them into a comic book. So I just started writing them. And the more I was doing that, the more I was comfortable actually using that platform. And then finally, when I was introduced to National Novel Writing Month, that's when I took the plunge and decided I was going to take a character that I created back in 1992, and I was going to give him his origin story. And now here we are. He's been with me for over 30 years now. So it's been wild seeing that. So, and really, you're in a great place right now with the release of the second book already. Mm-hmm. Now, are you looking at this as an ongoing series or just a trilogy?
I'm glad you mentioned the artistic ability thing and the comic book thing, because honestly, I wish sometimes that people could see the stick figure sketches I sent to my cover artist. My cover artist is Gus Malk. I am so unbelievably lucky to get to work with him. He actually does covers for Marvel, and that's crazy to me that I
it is a kick-ass cover.
Myself in enough rooms.
It is a real kick-ass cover. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it looks, that's a, you want to talk about a superhero type of setting, something that you can definitely expect. For like it pulls no punches and lets this is a superhero story. It is all right there.
I love both of my covers, but I did want to mention that. And I'm sorry to segue away from your original question. Can you remind
me? No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Oh, it was basically just saying that you're in a good spot right now because you've released the second book now.
Right.
And is this going to be an ongoing series or is it going to be just a trilogy?
Well, I mean, honestly, as of right now, there's four books coming out, so it's going to whatever the foreword or the four book quadrilogy. I love it. Right now, it's going to be four books ending in their senior year of college. If the books get enough traction, I've written three more of them, which follow sort of a spinoff type format where the first book follows the next team that enters Sherman University and the superhero program, and then the other two books follow one of the superheroes that survives the end final battle and what he chooses to do once he decides, I want to settle down. I want life to kind of slow down. And oh no, life still found me and I'm training another superhero team. Dear God. So I have seven of them written. And the seventh one kind of combines all of them together from one to six. So it's a return of old characters and all of the new ones meeting for the first time in the most terrible way possible. So I'm hoping that there's enough interest in the books for the world to see them. And I feel like there's going to be, but as of right now, just due to budget constraints and just general life stuff, I'm keeping it to four until I can get a better handle on, you know, how they're going to do. I do have other projects in the works, though, through those four, if I don't release the next three immediately after. They will happen someday. It just might not be four into five. It might be four into Book of Viceroy, which is a different series.
Oh, fun. I have a trilogy myself that started out actually as a single book, and then it blew up into this five-part serial, and now it's being kind of condensed into a trilogy. It's currently with my new publisher. But I have a sequel in mind that I've been just like kind of nurturing for years. But my thought is, it's like, I'm not going to write it unless there is a demand for it. I just feel like I would love to write it, but I also feel like I don't want to just write it into a void.
I understand that. And to be entirely honest with you, the Program 38 series only exists because I had a friend named Thomas who I went to college with, and I had written the first book. And he loved it so much that he was like, you should write another one. And this continued all the way to book seven. He read all of them and he truly loved them and cherished them as much as I did, and was the one who kind of pushed me and inspired me to write them in the first place. It was something that I was doing to inspire a friend and get to spend more time with him. We kind of worked on them together, and I wasn't ever totally considering publishing them. I had been working on another series for years when I went to college, but then I was like, you know what? Thomas loves these. And if I'm not going to do it for myself, I should at least do it for him. And I found quite a few other people who love the series too, which I'm happy with. So I'm glad that Thomas gave me that push that I needed to decide to publish them. So that's why I have so many of them written already, is because I have a very few close friends in my life, but when they ask me to do something for them, even if it's write an entire freaking book, I'm going to do it.
That's great. And that's
very good to me.
that's always the right kind of people to have with you too, because we as writers, I'm sure you've gotten plenty of negative thoughts and everything going through your head as well.
Absolutely.
Just like we all deal with that. We deal with the anxiety, the depression, the perfectionism, the imposter syndrome, the procrastination, all of that stuff. And it can be crippling. So having the fact that you have a support system mm-hmm. already in place, that speaks wonders. And that's a great thing to have right there.
Yeah, I have a fantastic support system between my three closest friends who read basically everything I write and my family who goes to like literally every show I ask them to go to sell these books with me.
Wow.
It's wonderful. You know, I'm glad to have it. And yeah, I'm excited to see where this next chapter takes me as far as hoping to get the books a bit more push and hoping maybe I won't have to drag my parents with me to all the shows.
I know the feeling. So one of the things that I love hearing about is what I call the road to creativity. And that's where you are on this one path in life. And then all of a sudden you experience something or hear something, read something, and it just makes you say like, oh, that's what I want to do. And all of a sudden you take that exit ramp and you're on this whole other highway and you merge right on and you're on your way to doing something that you feel you need to do. What was it like with you with writing in general?
I had a lot of those moments. Part of it was I wanted to be a chef in high school, and some personal experiences that were sort of negative made me turn away from that. And around the same time, I had a teacher who told me the year before when I had written a story as like, you know, a joke as a hobby, and I jokingly told her I wanted to be an author, and she told me I couldn't do it. She told me I wasn't a good enough writer. Plan to be a chef going out the window due to personal negative experiences, and remembering that experience from my middle school English teacher, I was like, well, I'm going to do it. And what, she was kind of right. I wasn't the best writer at first, but I spent the next, what is it now, 8 or 9 years perfecting my craft, going to college for it, going to graduate school now for it. And just, it was kind of like, it was funny because it was like a very stick it to the man type moment that ultimately led to me choosing to do this. And I don't regret it for a second. I'd been inspired by many unfortunate circumstances that happened in my life to continue writing. When I got to college, 38 was actually written because of a dare I had been given by a friend who is obsessed with superheroes. His name is Alex. Yeah. He was like, I don't like any of the genre you write. And if you really want me to read one of these books, give me a superhero book. Ooh. Alex, you still haven't finished the first one. Come on. And then Thomas took it over and was like, no, you've got to keep going. Got to keep fueling this thing. And ever since, I kind of got off the highway for a bit, even though I was studying it in school, and I kind of fell out of love with it for a bit, because doing those undergrad assignments can be such a pain in the butt sometimes. But then Thomas really inspired 38 to keep going, and as such, I kind of redirected myself back onto the highway. For me, it seems like a lot of my books are written out of experiences. Like Book of Viceroy is written predominantly out of my experiences with my college's yearbook program. And so that one got me back on the highway. And it seems like sometimes I veer off it, but something always brings me back. So I'm happy with that.
Excellent. Excellent. I love that. Once you went through that whole process, you were able to get that approval from your friends to keep on going with this. You go through the editing, you go through the formatting, you get that awesome looking cover design. And then when all is said and done, you have in your hands a finished book. Now, did you go the indie route with this, or did you seek out a publisher first?
I went the indie route with this, mostly because I had offers to go traditional. I had pretty substantial offers, but when I looked at what they were looking to change and what it would mean to let go of the creativity of the characters, I was like, I've written 7 of them already, and if I'm going to give this to one of the major 5 publishers, they're going to want to change aspects of the series that already exist. They're going to want to change certain things. I like what I wrote. I'm confident in what I wrote. And I want the world to see it. It's like Taylor's version albums. It's like, I want you to see 38 Amanda's version and nothing else.
Nice. Yeah. I love it. And then, so once all was said and done, you went that route and everything. And then finally you got that finished copy in your hands, which is something that every writer is yearning for. What was that moment like for you when you had it finally done?
Funnily enough, it happened on my ex's birthday, which I feel like was the cherry on the cake. But it was a very rewarding moment when I still live with my family, when my dad brought in the package and I got to open it for the first time. And I was like, whoa, I did this. I finished this. I pushed myself to do it. And here I am. I faced the fear of a perfectionist, which if you try to make something perfect, it'll never get out. And yeah. I'm glad that I was eventually able to let go of that and let 38 out. I mean, with all of its flaws, I'm still happy with it. I still feel like it's a great book. And I feel like as people read more of Program 38, particularly with how young I am, I'm 22, people right. will be able to see the growth of me as a writer and how I learned to better articulate things, how I learned to not do a show or show. I had a lot of problems with telling, so I had to learn how to do show, don't tell a little mm-hmm. bit better. And I feel like watching these four books evolve and change with me as an author and watching the characters grow as well is going to just be a testament to how determined I am to keep going and keep fighting and to just keep writing, because I feel like I'm not alive if I'm not writing. I feel like if I put the pen down, I'm just going to evaporate. So.
Yeah. Yep. I know the feeling, just like kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. You just got to keep on creating, keep on getting that work out there.
Yeah.
And so Siva was someone who is in a similar situation, that they have a particular kind of story in mind. They're not sure what sort of platform to use to get it out there. And they're also wondering, like, what would be the first step that they should take for it? What do you recommend for that person to do when they're looking to just kind of get started with everything?
Well, the biggest piece of advice I can give anyone, because it's how most projects fail, is not to give up, because a lot of people will just stop halfway through or three-fourths of the way through or even finish the draft and then be like, I can never do the process of actually publishing it. I felt the same way for yeah. the longest time, especially when I thought trad was the only option going through undergrad. They kind of tell you not to do that. And right. I was giving up hope. And then I was like, no, I have to do this. I have to tell this particular story in my particular way. So all you can do, because regardless of the stage you're at, the philosophy of don't give up always applies. Because you could be 99% way to the finish line. The book could be coming out tomorrow. And then you could decide for some reason, no, I don't want the world to see this. So yeah. that's the only piece of advice I can really give. As far as like general to anyone who's listening, to anyone who's starting, don't give up. Tell the world your story. It's yours. Don't let anyone try to change your mind and tell you how to do it differently. Because I also struggled with that in undergrad. My mentor at one point had told me, quote, superheroes are crap. Maybe you should try something different. And I told him, no uncertain terms, F you, I know what I'm doing, and I know this story has to be told. And I know that's why my story stands apart in these independent spaces like Threads, because people can tell that I've put my whole heart into it, and people can tell that I've made something unique. And yes, I know, the world is tired of superheroes, but I can absolutely guarantee you that you're not going to find something Marvel or DC-esque when you open that book, because yeah. it's very balanced. You both get very nuanced takes on the characters and their college lives and how they truly feel, and then equal superhero action. But it's not like Loki has come to overtake New York City kind of action. Every villain in this series has like personal motives and usually attachments to members of Program 38. Like book 2 is the perfect example. The main antagonist, Bolide, shows up out of nowhere and nobody knows exactly why she's attacking and why she's so determined to get this object called the Sterling Pendant. But as the book goes on, we find out she has a very sincere and deep relation to one of the characters on the team, and that it starts to make sense. And I feel like that's what makes 38 stand apart, is that all of the villains and all of the characters are all so deeply interconnected. And that's what makes it stand apart from the rest of the superhero genre. Whereas outside of Loki, who was a bad example for this one, a lot right. of them aren't really ingrained with the heroes. They're just another bad guy of the week. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get some like Thanos type crap with my stuff. Mm-hmm. I try to keep it real.
Nice. Nice. And since you have the book out as both an ebook and paperback, correct?
Correct.
And are you looking to get it out there as an audiobook as well?
I am in the process of looking into that, unfortunately. It's very expensive. The demand would have to really be there for that. And I'm trying to look in how to doing it on Audible. And I'm thinking about maybe launching like a Kickstarter or some sort of fundraiser to try and get the audiobook done. But nice. As of right now, it's kind of been tabled for the moment being. So I'm going to give you a full disclosure because here first, people. I'm actually in graduate school right now. I'm not going to say where, but it has unfortunately caused me to go on a bit of a hiatus with Program 38 in general. And also due to complications on my end, Book 3 has sort of been delayed. It will still be coming out at the beginning of next year. We're looking at March or April now instead of February. I've been taking things slow. I'm trying to kind of refine the brand, kind of reorganize and refine myself. Program 38 is going to come back better than ever. But I also am working on some projects that I can't talk to you guys about. I, like, literally I'm under NDA, so I can't say anything. It looks like I'm not doing much right now, and I feel really bad about it. But I want to be like, come on, guys, I want to tell you about the super secret project. But I can't. And it makes me feel bad that Program 38 has been put on the side for both grad school and this other project. But I'm also 100% certain that when Book 3 does eventually come out, that everyone's going to love it.
And when Book 3 does eventually come out, are you also looking to maybe pursue like other venues for it, such as like it's film and television would be at a budget, but there are different options such as an audio drama has gotten a resurgence thanks to the podcasters. And so that's always something that I always consider throwing out there to people when they're wondering like how else they can get their stories and their characters out there into the world.
Yeah, I would absolutely be open to collaboration in essentially any way when it comes to Program 38 and its future. I know no one on like social media platforms is magically going to have access to a television or movie studio, but if you do, hi, hit me up. My name's Amanda. If you don't, though, if you like draw and want to do a comic or even just a collaboration artwork style or an audio drama or literally anything at all, I'm pretty open. Send me a message. I am available on Instagram, Threads, so on and so forth. I even have a Facebook. I feel old every time I say that, but I did. I do check all of my social medias and I do respond to any messages that aren't bots.
There you go. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
So my handle on everything is Amanda_M_author. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Facebook. I have a website that's AmandaMauthor.com. I'm working on making a YouTube channel, but that hasn't occurred just yet. I think that's the list of all the social medias for now. Oh, and Goodreads, if you count that as a social media.
Nice. Nice. Excellent. Excellent. I'm so thrilled to hear that things are moving forward, even though they may be on a hiatus right now. You still have finished works that are out there. And and I hope that all of you who have been listening to this conversation that Amanda and I have had really take this as a real good form of inspiration and motivation, because even when the budget isn't there, even when the skill as an artist may not be there, there are different ways to get that story out there. And especially if you have a superhero that you would like to introduce to the world, it doesn't always have to be as a comic, doesn't always have to be as a television show or a YouTube short or as a film or anything. It can be a book. It can be in book form. And you can definitely do that. So I hope that you're able to take what is available to you and use those resources to get that story out. So please don't give up. Please keep moving forward, because in these crazy times, we need your stories. We need your ideas. We need your vision now more than ever. So for Amanda Madison, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.